Today in the studio we have Gareth Ward, and we're delighted to welcome him. He's the New South Wales Minister for Families, Communities and Disability Services. It's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it?
It is, Elaine. Thank you very much.
You've been involved in politics a while. When did your interest in politics start?
Well, when I was a teenager, actually, the council was trying to sell land behind where we were living, which had been set aside for public open space. And being a snippy law student, I got everybody in the street worked up about it. We went along to the council meeting. When we were there, we were offered the opportunity to speak, and all of the fingers came pointing around my way. So I had to get up and give a presentation in front of the council. But we won. And I thought at that time I could do this. So I stood for council at 22 and was elected as the youngest Shoalhaven City Councillor, and then went on to be the Deputy Mayor, and then pre-selected at 28 and in Parliament at 29.
So tell us about your new portfolio. What's that all about?
Well, it's the Ministry for Families, Communities and Disability Services, which covers everything from child protection, which is incredibly important, through to youth justice and our youth justice centres across the state, as well as trying to keep young people and children out of youth justice more than anything, through to important issues like homelessness. And we've obviously set a very ambitious target in relation to homelessness and halving street sleeping by 2025, not just here in Sydney, but right across the state. But also volunteering and encouraging volunteering, not just in radio stations like this, but right across the state, and also disability services, which is particularly close to my heart.
There's been a new report forecasting future outcomes, and a lot of that seems to be in early prevention.
Targeted early intervention, which I think has worked in other countries. But the report which you reference, which was put together by actuarial company Taylor Fry, is the largest human services multi-agency data set ever produced in Australia. Well, one of the most terrifying figures that came out of that is that 7% of vulnerable children and young people will comprise 50% of the welfare budget by the time they're 40. What this report helps us do is break down the different categories of vulnerability. And we knew what the categories were, but what it helps us do is provide the evidence base that we need for targeted early intervention. You've probably heard the old adage about fences at the top of the cliff rather than ambulances at the bottom. If we can turn around lives early, if we can intervene when we see the warning signs, when we know where they may be, you can start a different trajectory in life for people. Not only will that save taxpayers' money, but the social justice outcomes are enormous. New Zealand's headed down this path. I know that just about every other state and territory has been on the phone to me saying, we'd like to know more about this data. And we're happy to share it with them because we want everyone to live fulfilling lives. The report itself is groundbreaking. It will change the way we approach state-sponsored social welfare. For me, Elaine, I see the success of a social safety net not by how many people are on it, but how many people no longer need it.
What insights from your own background have you been able to bring to this portfolio?
Well, I'm the first person to have the disabilities portfolio to actually have a disability. So I think the lived experience that you bring and the empathy you bring, not that to say that other people who've had this portfolio aren't empathetic, but I think when you have lived a life where you've had different challenges that other people haven't had to face, you do have a fervour about the things you want to achieve. And I certainly want our society to be a socially inclusive one, one that doesn't look at someone's disability, but one that looks at encouraging people to realise their full potential, whatever that may be, and to live a fully participatory life, one that is inclusive no matter which part of this great state they live in.
So you're not saying that other politicians are not empathetic?
No, not at all. But I think that when you have a unique experience like this, it's something that no one else can have, and it gives you a unique level of understanding.
So the New South Wales Ageing and Disability Commissioner, Mr. Robert Fitzgerald, has just been appointed.
Yes.
Is that a new job?
It is. In fact, it was the first piece of legislation that came into the Parliament from the Berejiklian government, which speaks volumes about the sort of social justice agenda we have and the importance we place on caring for our vulnerable. The chief remit of Commissioner Fitzgerald is to stamp out abuse, neglect or exploitation wherever it may be found. But there's a whole bunch of other functions he has, such as educating the public, conducting investigations into systemic abuse, but also reporting to Parliament. And he is independent of and from government. He has the opportunity to say whatever he believes will help fix the system or make changes, no matter how uncomfortable they may be for me or a future minister. He is totally independent of government. We have given him the strongest powers of any similar agency anywhere in any other state. He has the powers to compel evidence, to seek search warrants, in an effort to care for some of our state's most vulnerable.
You mentioned educating the public. What does the public need to be educated about?
Well, I think about the sorts of abuse, neglect and exploitation that occur, to keep an eye out for people that might be subject to it, but also to understand how to treat and look after people who are ageing or people who have disabilities. Sometimes people don't even know that they're neglecting people. Some people have a different view of what neglect or exploitation may be, but it may be about educating older adults in relation to the differences in the different types of powers of attorney, so they can understand that if they are making that decision, what that may involve. It may be appropriate standards of care for carers that are looking after people with disability. They are incredibly important roles. A lot of it will relate to the home, and I suspect a lot of the complaints will come from home environments. The commissioner's role isn't to investigate where there are other bodies that already do that work, such as the Quality and Safeguards Commission of the NDIS, the DPP, the police, or the Healthcare Complaints Commission. So they will refer matters where it's more appropriate for another body to deal with that. But where there are gaps, he will take up the important role of trying to find outcomes, but also bringing the hammer down when it needs to be brought down.
So the Commission will be working closely with other disability organisations?
Absolutely. And in fact, the first task of the Commission, which the Parliament tasked the Commissioner with, was a review of disability advocacy funding, so that we can make sure that those organisations that are standing up for people who are vulnerable have the right supports, particularly in the new environment. Now that we have the NDIS, which states hand over all of their disability money to, there is money as part of that for what's called information linkages and capacity building. Those organisations that receive that funding are involved in advocacy for people on the NDIS. But as we know, not everyone with a disability is on the NDIS. Unarguably, in my view, those people are the most vulnerable because they have disability, but they don't have the same level of supports. So we need to make sure that those organisations that are supporting those people are appropriately resourced in the new NDIS environment.
So you've got a lot of challenges in your portfolio.
There's a lot of challenges, but a lot of opportunities as well too. Given my background, from where I come from, I want to make sure I use all of the experiences and all of the things that I bring to the portfolio to make lives right across this state much better.
You've achieved a lot as a person, really, and as a person with low vision. What messages would you like to give to young people?
I wrote an article recently in which I was writing a letter to my younger self, and what I said was, be bold and be brave. You don't often realise what you're capable of unless you push those boundaries. I mean, when I was growing up, Elaine, in the 1980s, in fact, when I was born, the doctors told my parents, keep him in the dark and behind closed doors. I had teachers that said...
It's not very encouraging.
No, it wasn't. But different times. And I had teachers that even said to my parents, look, he won't amount to much. But come forward now, at the age of 38, I am a qualified solicitor, admitted in both the New South Wales and High Court jurisdictions. I have worked in the public-private sector. I've been elected to my council twice, state parliament three times. From a kid that was told he won't amount to much to being the state's disability minister and family and community services minister, it's a long way. But it proves that if you are determined and if you always do your best, you'll get there. And it's also incumbent, though, on people in my position and people who can to educate others, because not everyone will understand, but there'll be so many people that will want to help. For everyone that wants to hurt, there's hundreds that want to help.
And I understand technology has helped you a lot.
Yeah, look, when you contrast where we were back in the 80s to where we are now, we're just literally light years away. I remember when I was studying, I had to use a closed circuit television, which is a screen with a camera so you can zoom in on the text and enlarge it to a font that I could read. And when you were looking for books in the library, bringing them down to the access room, searching for a page, and if it was the wrong book, back you'd go again. Compare that now to being able to search databases and enlarge the font. Compare that to once never being able to sit up in bed and read a book because of the nature of the old technology to new tablet technology. We have come light years, and it certainly means that people with disability can live much more participatory and full lives and live them to the full, and nothing needs hold you back anymore.
That's terrific. I understand that music has been an outlet for you. Break
yeah, yeah, from violinist to fiddling politician, hey, who would have thought? I was a student at the Conservatorium of Music, studied violin. I was a weekend student. My mum, amongst many things that mum has done, is a music teacher. So all of us growing up had to learn an instrument. And because my eyesight wasn't great. My hearing has always been good. And so all of my exams I had to do by ear. No sheet music in front of me. I had to remember every note and perform at the same level as any student in order to pass those Australian Music Examination Board exams. That was a great joy and remains a great joy. I don't practice as much as I used to, but I do love playing for charitable events and things like that. Had a band at university called Rusty Fence. I love jazz and enjoy the opportunity when I can to get together with other people that have similar interests.
Do you have a favourite jazz piece?
Oh gosh, there's lots. I love Frank Sinatra, anything by Sinatra. My Way. But look, Mahudi Menwin, Stefan Grappelli's Sweet Joy. Georgia Brown. Frank Sinatra is a favourite of mine.
Thank you very much, Minister. It's been great that you've made a little bit of time in your very busy day to come and visit us at 2RPH. Thank you very much.
Wonderful to be with you and look forward to catching up again soon.
I've just been speaking to Gareth Ward, the New South Wales Minister for Families, Communities and Disabilities Services.